Neurejena vida je posodo prala.
Zraven nekaj krožnikov razbila.
Za volanom je zaspala.
Saj službo zgubila.
Šefe je nagnal.
Ker nosečniški trebuh je zaznal.
Da je mera polna.
Od domače te peške je že bolna.
Sama si je trapa kriva.
Če tudi posilevalcu zanimiva.
Sektor Ž. Oddaja o nesposobnih ženskah. To soboto opoldne.
Lepo pozdravljene v oddaji Sektor KŽ. Ženska oblika v besed velja skozi celotno oddajo tudi za moško. In že takoj v vodu naj kar povem komentar na to. Na nemški univerzi Leipzig se je nedavno sprejel statut univerze, kjer bodo vse besede zapisane v ženski obliki, torej profesorica, asistentka in tako dalje. V pompah pa se bo označilo, da se ženske oblike nanašajo tudi na moške. To je prva nemška univerza, ki je upeljala to vrsto pravila. Predtem je uporabljala obe obliki skupaj, torej profesorica, profesor, asistentka, asistent, kar pa ne bi bilo nekam nepregledno. Študentke so sicer na univerzi v Leipzigu v večini, predstavljajo pa že malo manj tudi kot polovico znanstvenega kadra. No, verjetno tega v Leipzigu niso naredile po našem vzoru sektor KŽ, ampak kakšen majhen delček se bomo pa kar prilastile. V ozadju poslušamo Sotirijo Belu, to je legendarna pevka Rebetike iz Grščije, lezbika in antifašistka. Naša ekipa se je v preteklem mesecu udeležila dveh odličnih festivalov. Najprej bomo s Teo Hvala obiskale festival Queer Stan in queerovski protest proti kriminalizaciji ljudi brez dokumentov v Amsterdamu. Teja Oblak pa sem se udeležila debate in delavnice Samo za ženske, seksizem med nami na 10. balkanskem anarhističnem sejmu knjig, ki je potekal na ljubljanski Metelkovi. Moram povedati, da Ida Hiršenfelder tako aktivno predeluje in prakticira knjigo avtorice Sheryl Sandberg Lean In, Women Work and the Will to Lead, da bo prispevek v sami knjigi časovno zmogla šele za drugič. Tako da se zelo veselimo. Začnemo? Začnemo! V Amsterdamu je med 30. majem in 2. junijem četrčič zapored potekal festival Queer Stan. Poleg razstav, koncertov, filmskih projekcij in performansov je program vključeval vrsto delavnic o presečiščih med boji, ki potekajo v imenu spolne identitete in spolnih usmeritev na eni strani, ter boji zunaj polja identitetnih politik. Na delavnicah je bilo govora o privilegijih belcev v nizozemski družbi, o spoštljivi vzgoji otrok, o proizvajanju znanja v neoliberalnih akademskih tovarnah, o povezavah med queerovskim aktivizmom in osvoboditvijo živali, o organiziranju v okviru obstoječih sindikatov na nizozemskem in o tamkajšnjih samoorganiziranih sindikatih migrantskih gospodinjskih delavk in čistilk. Ker vse našteto na prvi pogled nima veliko opraviti z lezbičnim in gejovskim bojem za pripoznanje, je Teja Hvala eno od organizatork festivala Queer Stan vprašala, kako se istoimenski kolektiv, v katerem sodeluje okrog 20 ljudi z vseh koncev Evrope, opredeljuje do nizozemskega LGBT mainstreaminga. V nadaljevanju poslušajmo izjavo Miki, ki je najprej povedala, zakaj so pred 4 leti začutile potrebo po vzpostavitvi lastnega javnega prostora, kako se je Queer Stan v tem času politično izoblikoval in koga festival sploh nagovarja. Poslušajmo.
Yeah, Queer Stan started out 4 years ago and what we wanted to do is that we, as a community, we were very frustrated by the way in which like the commercial lesbian and gay scene is very exclusive, it's quite racist, it's quite right-wing. It's interesting to know that, for example, like the Dutch gay community, they did a poll and I think that about 50% of the gay community would vote for Geert Wilders, which is this horrible right.
Take this one home.
Would vote for who?
Geert Wilders, which is a like an extreme right politician who was in government a couple of years ago. Yeah, so that's a bit like the gay scene in Amsterdam. It's very like white, it's very right wing, it's very commercial. So what we try to do is create a space that's an autonomous space where we can actually address these issues, things that we worry about, things that we care about. And in the last 4 years, Queerstan has really been growing. And in the beginning, we were reaching out also towards this like mainstream gay community, but we sort of stopped and focused more on creating autonomous, anti-capitalist, anti-racist, anti-sexist space to really focus and give attention to multiple forms of oppression, how we can deal with them, how we can resist them, and at the same time really work on establishing a community or creating a space where the community can come together to organize, to talk, to get to know each other.
To je bila izjava aktivistke Miki z festivala Queerstan. In če nadaljujemo, na festivalu Queerstan so potekale tudi delavnice o prepoznanju hierarhiji in preprečevanju zatiranja v lastnih aktivističnih vrstah, o queerovskih direktnih akcijah ter o zasedništvu ali tako imenovanem skvotiranju zapuščenih stavb, torej temah, ki neposredno zadevajo poskuse vzpostavljanja novih, bolj vključujočih queerovskih skupnosti. Program se je dvijal v treh avtonomnih prostorih, torej skvotih, ki tudi po zaostritvi zakona proti zasedništvu na Nizozemskem ostaja v rokah aktivistov, kar je na žalost prej izjema kot pravilo. TAH omenja še dogodke, ki spadajo v obvezni repertoar tovrstnih festivalov. Pogovor o specifičnosti kvirovske burleske in performansa, pisanje erotično-pornografskih zgodb in delavnico o varnem seksu, ki je sledil seks party. Slednji je požel številne pohvale, saj je organizatorjem uspelo ustvariti dovolj varno okolje, da so se lahko sprostili tudi ljudje, za katere je bila ta izkušnja povsem nova. Festival Queerstan se je zaključil v nedeljo 2. junija z javnim protestom proti kriminalizaciji priseljencev brez dokumentov, ki živijo na Nizozemskem. Ob koncu protesta, ki se ga je udeležilo okrog 80 ljudi, so organizatorji prebrali izjavo z naslovom Breaking Borders ali Podrimo meje. Ker začetek izjave na našem posnetku manjka, ga navajamo v prevodu. Nizozemska vlada javno razglaša svojo tolerantnost, ob tem pa kriminalizira nedokumentirane migrante. Nizozemska migrantska politika spada med najbolj omejujoče in nečloveške politike v Evropi. O tem pričajo centri za pridržanje priseljencev, zapori, torej zapori za ljudi brez dokumentov, ki jih nizozemska vlada gradi od leta 2003. Danes Nizozemska velja za evropsko državo z največjim deležem zaprtih priseljencev. Samo leta 2011 je bilo v centrih zaprtih 6104 ljudi, med njimi na stotine mladostnikov in ljudi, ki so bili v svoji državi bodi si mučeni, bodi si žrtve trgovanja s človeškimi življenji. V nadaljevanju pa zdaj poslušamo preostanek protestne izjave.
The punitive rules in the deportation jails are more strict than for those convicted under criminal law, with more restrictive visitation rules and the impossibility of work and education. Human rights and activist groups have pointed to the severe psychological consequences for the migrants. Several of them have already attempted and actually committed suicide inside the prisons. Whereas migrants are now imprisoned as a form of administrative detention, the Dutch government is currently debating the actual criminalization of so-called illegality. A law proposal which has been part of the governmental agreement between the two ruling parties, the VVD, right-wing liberals, and PvdA, the Labour Party. This law will be an obvious violation, a violation of international treaties that try to safeguard the universal right to access to education and healthcare, and would increase the vulnerability of people without papers to various forms of exploitation and abuse. This law would also criminalize the hundreds of migrants who are currently living in the streets as their request for residence in the Netherlands is being declined, but the country of origin doesn't accept their return. Many activists and human rights groups resist this ongoing criminalization of migration, from groups trying to struggle against forced deportation to human rights groups visiting the prisons to people squatting alternative housing for migrants in the streets. Also, the migrants themselves are protesting, even from within the jails. In May this year, dozens of imprisoned migrants entered a hunger and thirst strike to protest their inhumane treatment. Her protest was met with repression. The spokesperson was put in isolation. Strikers were physically abused and some deported after weeks of strike. In a court case, the judge ruled the strikers can be forced to eat and forced. Still, some are on strike right now and they are supported by activists at the gates of the jails. This weekend we had a festival in Amsterdam, Queeristan, an autonomous festival for queer politics, and we march here today in solidarity with all these struggles. As queers, we resist and want to break down social and cultural binaries. Male, female, gay, straight, black, white, migrant, non-migrant, what have you. As we know from our own experiences that these binaries serve as a basis for discrimination, exclusion, and marginalization. In the same way that we resist these social and cultural borders, we protest the violence exercised at the borders of the nation state and the repressive policies and mechanisms that keep these borders in place. Additionally, we protest the way in which currently the LGBT rights discourse is instrumentalized by the right-wing groups in their anti-migrant policies. These groups, they want us to believe that so-called progressive Dutch society is under threat of homophobic migrants, and that this is why we need more restrict migration policy. We resist this false duality. The Netherlands is not a queer paradise, and homophobia is not a phenomenon that arrives with migration. We need to resist. Friends, all the people you know, no human being is illegal. Let's chant, no borders, no nations, stop deportations, no borders, no nations, stop deportations.
Izjavo proti kriminalizaciji imigrantov brez dokumentov je na amsterdamskih ulicah prebral eden od organizatorjev protesta Breaking Borders in festivala Queeristan. TH pravi, na demonstracijah sem opazila slogan Stop using pinkwashing to cover up racism, kar bi lahko približno prevedle kot nehajte izrabljati emancipacijo LGBT ljudi za prikrivanje rasizma. Organizatorko Miki sem vprašala, kaj natančno pomeni izraz pinkwashing v nizozemskem kontekstu, ter kje in kdaj se v Amsterdamu srečujejo queerovske in protirasistične aktivistke in aktivisti. Zanimalo me je, ali sta omenjeni gibanji sploh povezani.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a movement, because I think the Dutch climate is so extremely depoliticized that it's hard to speak of a movement, but there are definitely activists from anarchist scenes, anti-capitalist scenes, queer scene, anti-racist scene, that are trying to work together and build alliances. And yeah, I think in order to build a queer politics, or at least a queer politics that we envision at Queeristan, is an intersectional politics. So that means that we're trying to be wary of different levels of oppression and violence, which go beyond the mere frame of gender and sexuality, because we think that that's a very limiting framework, which is also easily used by the government. So what the Dutch government does is they focus on this narrative of sexual rights or gay rights, and the fact that in the Netherlands we have gay rights such as gay marriage, like anti-discrimination laws, gay people can serve openly in the army. And what you see happening with, like, the fact that we have these rights, that they're not now being used to say, oh, the Netherlands is such a tolerant country, we're so liberal, we're so democratic. But then on the other hand side, if you look at, for example, what's happening now to migrants and to undocumented people, it's absurd to claim this narrative of tolerance that actually uses gay people and the oppression of gay people and homophobia to completely cover up all these other issues that are happening in the Netherlands right now and in Dutch society.
And this is pinkwashing. This is what the term means.
Pinkwashing has been growing. Like, pinkwashing comes actually from the context of Israel-Palestine. That's where it was first coined. Because if we look at the state of Israel, of course, the state of Israel is oppressing the Palestinian people. There's colonial occupation going on. There's settlements. There's an apartheid wall that's being built. There's discrimination towards Palestinian citizens of Israel. And what the Israeli government decided to do in 2005 is this campaign called Brand Israel, or Creative Energy, in which they try to frame Israel as a vibrant place where there's diversity, there's arts, there's gay rights. And it's fantastic for gay people to go there. And Israel is the only democratic haven in the Middle East because of these gay rights and because of women's rights. But then again, if you look at the actual political situation of Israel, which is just a violent apartheid regime, then this whole narrative is ridiculous. So this is where pinkwashing comes from. Palestinian queer activists quoted this term to reveal, like, how their narrative is being abused, how, like, anti-occupation struggles are erased by this whole, like, narrative of Israel as a gay heaven in the Middle East. So that's where pinkwashing comes from the Israeli-Palestinian context specifically. But now you see that it's more often also being used in the context of the United States, but also here in the Netherlands, where gay rights are being used against migrants specifically. For example, you have Dutch immigration tests where migrants are being asked, so what will you do if you see two gay men kissing in a store? And then they have this, like, ABC answers. Or they can say, oh, I would beat them up, or I would walk away, or I would applaud them. And that answer is, like, determines whether someone can enter this country as a migrant, as a refugee. And it's then being proposed as if homophobia is a phenomenon that comes with migration, and that comes with, usually, like, it comes with Arabs, or it comes with, yeah, mostly people of color. So it's this extremely racist narrative that says, oh no, the Dutch are so tolerant, they're so amazing, they love their gays, which completely also, of course, obscures, like, homophobia happening in Dutch society, and also, like, queerphobia happening within gay and lesbian communities, and transphobia specifically in this case.
Amsterdamski queeristan queerovsko politiko torej razume in prakticira na način, ki je blizu ameriški rabi iz sredine 90-ih let, kot kritičen odgovor na komercializacijo in depolitizacijo nizozemskega gibanja za lesbično in gejovsko osvoboditev. Za konec poslušajmo švedske hardkoroke Fucked Up Queers v komadu Fuck Riva, ki so nastopile na otvoritvenem večeru v Squatu Frankreich. Queeristan je obiskala Teja H. To je bil komad Fuck Riva, švedskih hardkorovkih Fucked Up Queers. in pa prispevek o festivalu Queeristan, ki ga je obiskala Taja H. Zdaj v zadju ponovno slišimo Sotirja v Belu, prejšnji komad je imel naslov Women with Guts oziroma ženske z jajčniki, sedaj pa poje Open Up ali Odpri se mi, no, Razpri se mi. Od 24. do 26. maja je v najrazličnejših prostorih na Metelkovi potekal 10. balkanski anarhistični sejem knjig. V sklopu sejma se je dogodila kar dvojna delavnica na temo Seksizem med nami. Prva delavnica v klubu Tiffany je potekala samo za ženske, pripravile pa so jo inicijativi Lezbično-feministična univerza. Povod za izvedbo delavnice je bilo pravzaprav naslednji. Čeprav ne bi antikapitalistične, anarhistične in druge aktivistične skupnosti in gibanja v osnovnem načelu delovale nehierarhično, se kljub temu seksizem dogaja, tako na ravni jezika, vedenja, delovanja in tako dalje. Poslušajmo za začetek nekaj pol argumentov, s katerimi se po naših izkušnjah opravičuje seksizem tudi v aktivističnih krogih in avtonomnih skupnostih. Ti argumenti oziroma protiargumenti so nam na delavnici služile kot istočnica za nadaljno debato. Istočnice je podala aktivistka LFU in antikapitalističnega bloka.
Well, why sexism is still present in our activist circles? Of course, every one of us is socialized in this male role, women role. So, of course, masculinity is like synonymous with aggression and strength. Femininity is with submission, subservience, and vulnerability. Of course, this affects our personal behavior and our interrelations with each other. So if we don't actively address this, I mean sexist behavior, oppressive behavior, and also self-oppressive behavior, then all the relations are inevitably there will arise a dominance relationship. I was trying to be aware of the sex of the person that is expressing sexist language or actions or so on. So, if there is, I mean, when there is a man, a friend activist, that is expressing sexist behavior or language, I saw that there is always this, but he does important work in social justice struggle. He has been arrested. But does this give the person free tickets to be sexist? Another thing is that when this is happening, another excuse is like, he's an activist, he's an anarchist, he doesn't mean it. I was aware that because we are activists and it's like it means synonymously that we are aware and that we are meritoriousness. We are meritorious. Like we did a lot of things and so on. So we can, you know, make fun, make jokes. But still, if we are expressing sexism and we don't subvert it, we are still empowering sexism in our groups. When a female activist friend or not friend, I mean the person you know, when this person is not reacting to sexism, for example, it's being silent or laughing along. I was reading about it, and one blogger was putting the question if this is a case of internalized misogyny or a case of passive and naive internalized sexist oppression. But I wouldn't want to judge or give an answer to it. I think this is not so much important. But the problem here is active participation. So if women don't express that they are bothered with sexist activity, actions and language, that doesn't mean that sexism don't exist. In this process of women not acting about sexism is not understood, men can address it like, oh, women aren't bothered with it, just you are bothered with it. Other women didn't feel offended by it, or other women didn't say anything. But this is just an excuse when women are used for, women non-action is used for excuse of sexist action. But that I and other girls were faced with, it's excused with, I'm just politically incorrect. So I think this is a big problem, because what does this mean? I mean, I can be offensive to someone because I'm politically incorrect and I'm free. And what does this mean? If a person is avoiding offensive language, does this mean that he's disguising the truth? Is this just means that if you are not offensive, that you are just being politically correct? Where is this barrier between politically incorrectness and offensive language? Is about manifestation of sexism. In which way can be sexism manifested? It's beliefs. So, for example, what is the do I mean by beliefs? For example, when I said that we will make a workshop about sexism in activist group, one of the responses was, "But you should deal with more important, more political themes like." Like structural patriarchy in state level. This is like, for me, sexist belief that, I mean, that when a male activist is saying to me what is more important for women to address. I don't say that structural patriarchy is not important issue. It's very important issue, but I think that I have a right to decide what I'm interested in and what I want to do within the struggle. Okay, behaviors. So this means actions, and I would say non-actions too. So when we are not acting, this is still the field of behaviors. And then, of course, the language that I think it's most powerful in I think that in language in our activist group, I can see a lot of examples of sexist usage. So this is sexist jokes, sexist slogans, and through this language we can sexist language in our activist group reflects the normalization of sexism in a broader society.
Še kar smo v oddaji Sektor KŽ. To so bile torej istočnice za živahno debato, ki se je razvila na delavnici Seksizem med nami v okviru 10. Balkanskega anarhističnega sejma knjig na Metelkovi. Delavnice se je udeležilo približno 35 aktivistk ali več. Izmenjali smo se izkušnje in dobre prakse, kako senzibilizirati za seksizem in mizoginijo, seveda najprej sebe in druge ženske, zgraditi opolnomočenje, nato pa aktivno problematizirati in spreminjati prakse v širši skupnosti. Zaradi izraženih dvomov nekaterih udeležencev v upravičenost prostora samo za ženske in tudi širšega zanimanja za to tematiko, je naslednji dan Baska potekala še ponovitev delavnice v Infošopu, kamor so bili vabljeni prav vsi, ki so se udeležili sejma. Vendar so tudi tokrat prišle samo številčne aktivistke. Delavnica na temo seksizem med nami je ponovno opozorila na to, da je potrebno preizpraševati vse vrste hierarhij in možnosti dominacije znotraj avtonomnih prostorov in aktivističnih skupnosti. Samo na podlagi tega lahko gradimo skupno moč in energijo za naš upor. Upor vsem vrstam dominacije pomeni tudi slavljenje raznolikosti in upoštevanje želja, potreb in zanimanj vseh v skupnosti. Delavnice sem se udeležila Taja O., sedaj pa prisluhnimo satiričen komad nemške lezbične kabaretinje Caroline Brauchmann, Queen of the Scene iz leta 1982.
Sie wird ungeheuer radikal. Glitzerblaue Augen, Körper wie aus Stahl. Sie guckt so cool und teuflisch arrogant. Trägt dezenten Schlagring an der linken Hand. Ich find sie sehr erotisch, sie heizt mir tüchtig ein. Ich guck schon ganz idiotisch und fall prompt auf sie rein. Sie steht gerade auf New Wave, Frau sieht sie mächtig an. Sie reißt eine große Show und powert, wo sie kann. Sie trinkt nur Scotch und flirtet desinteressiert. Pokerface auf Eis, wirklich talentiert. Mal macht sie auf KV und mal spielt sie die Fun. Sie ist die Queen der Scene und hört mich ganz hübsch an. Da gibt es wirklich nichts, was diese Frau schockiert. Die Sophistry-Debatte ließ sie unberührt. Und Theorie-Gefasel entspricht nicht ihrer Art. Hetero-Geschichten machen sie mal Art. Ich bin ja, ich gesteh's, von ihrer Show so fasziniert. Von ihrer Frosterotik wie hypnotisiert. Sie liebt als Lebelespe die Großstadtdekadenz. Sie swingt durch die Bewegung, gehört zur Prominenz. Sie hat mehrfach Beziehung quer durch die halbe Scene. Und wird manchmal dramatisch, da bleibt sie souverän, da bleibt sie kühl, kein Gefühl innen drin. Sie ist die Schnelle, die Helle, die Homosexuelle. Sie ist die Schwule, die Coole, die Superpowervolle. Und sie trägt immer so Button, die andere noch nicht hatten. Sie weiß die heißesten Gerüchte und jede Klatschgeschichte. Sie ist so up to date und in sie ist der Liebling der Saison. Und sie bleibt unser Motto treu, lesbisch schön und arbeitsscheu.
To je bila Caroline Brauchmann s komadom Queen of the Scene. Zdaj se počasi približujemo koncu oddaje Sektor KŽ. Skozi Sektor K sva vas pripeljali Teja s H in Teja z J in z O. Za naju pa je držala pesti še Ida H. Za konec ne izrazim solidarnost z vsemi protestnicami in protestniki v Turčiji in pač vse povsod. Kot pravijo o feministični radikalni skupini Mujeres Krando iz Bolivije, Rebellion, it's your fault, I'll be happy. Torej, samo zaradi upora bomo v prihodnosti lahko srečne. Se slišimo ponovno v sektorki septembra. Čau!
Neurejena vida je posodo prala.
Zraven nekaj krožnikov razbila.
Za volanom je zaspala.
Saj službo zgubila.
Šef te je nagnal.
Ker nosečniški trebuh je zaznal.
Da je mera polna.
Od domače te peške je že bolna.
Sama si je trapa kriva.
Če tudi posilevalcu zanimiva.
Sektor Ž. Oddaja o nesposobnih ženskah to soboto opoldne.